So I've been working my coffee game. Now, if you have been to Australia before, you would know that this is the best coffee in the world. I don't just say that as a we all think we have the best things in the world. But I've been to Italy a couple of times, had a lot of coffee, lots of different places around the world, had a lot of coffee. But there's something about Australia, there's a coffee culture in Australia that is really, really serious. I won't say that. I was about to speak disparagingly about a part of the world that has terrible coffee, but I haven't been there for a few years. Anyway, what I've been doing with the coffee game, I was at Scott Helms' place last year, and he had one of these needle distributors. So after you grind the coffee into the portafilter, and it all comes out, and it's not exactly even, sometimes it's a little clump. So the needle distributor just sort of spreads it out much more evenly, breaks up all the clumps. So I did that, and then I got this called an OCD tool. This little gravity-based thing that sits on top, and you spin it, and then it evenly distributes the evenly distributed. Oh, this sounds like a double thing. Anyway, it evenly distributes across the top the coffee, and then I got a new spring-loaded tamper, so you always get the same amount of pressure on it. And this has come up so much better. And then because I'm micro-optimizing all my time. The coffee machine I bought when I first moved back here to the Gold Coast 9 years ago. It's really one of the first things I bought, coffee machine and grinder. I was wasting multiple seconds every day holding the portafilter under the grinder. And you hold it there roughly in place. It's early, still a bit shaky. It's not poured quite properly. And I just wanted to get one where you hook the portafilter in. And then as I started researching more, I discovered you can get grinders these days that will automatically weigh the coffee. So instead of just having like a set period of time, but then depending on the grind size and depending on even the beans and the temperature and the humidity, a different amount, it can weigh it really reliably down to 0.1 of a gram. So I got this new grinder. You just hook the portafilter in, press the button, and it weighs it, and you get exactly 20 grams of coffee every single time. So the only thing missing from my upped coffee game now is I'm waiting on a new machine. I want to get, I'll drop this in the chat for this. It's not in Australia yet, and it's bugging me because it came out overseas, America, like a year ago or something. It's a Synesso ES1. Now, this is great because it's got TFT and you can program it. And I'm sure it's going to tie in a home assistant somewhere. Wow, why can't I see the, oh, that's why. Looking for the little. Here's my problem, nothing to do with coffee. In my massive wall of screens, for some reason, the task bar covers the bottom of the browser. So I'm looking at my browser window going, why can't I just paste something into the browser window, into the chat? Because the chat is sitting beneath the task bar. Here it is. Here's the Synesso ES1. It looks beautiful. You can get in different colors too. I'm really tempted to get a black one and then just like totally black out my whole coffee display because the new grinder is all black. G'day, Ken. John's having the coffee. Bouillard on breach forums. I will get to that. It's on the schedule. Somewhere along the schedule. We'll get through to that. Let's start with the sponsor. Sponsor this week is Collide, my long-term sponsor who has probably been my most prevalent sponsor as well. Collide is an endpoint security solution for teams that want to meet SOC 2 compliance goals without sacrificing privacy. Learn more here. Collide has been up there on TroyHelm.com for many years now. Set compliance goals, employees, make them happy, make them happen. Also make them happy. That would also be good. An enforcement approach only enforces compliance limits when the IT team can achieve and drives employees to use personal devices. Instead of frustrating your employees, make them happy. Collide employee, or rather empowers them to help fix security issues, including ones that could not be solved with automation alone. It is a human challenge, security, and certainly a large part of it is a human challenge. I was doing a podcast yesterday, and someone was sort of saying, how are we going to fix phishing and everything? Do we just have to make people better? It's like, well, in part, like that's part of the challenge. Part of the challenge is also using technology to make it better. Some of the AI stuff we're going to talk about soon could also make it better. There's a shared responsibility, a little bit like preventing against credential stuffing attacks. It's a shared responsibility. Stop reusing your passwords, use multi-factor authentication. Also, if you're a web application that's allowing just gazillions of requests from threat actors without some way of controlling and limiting that, yeah, that's a different problem too. Okay, now, interesting things this week. Let's start with the post-millennial. Now, this is something I spoke about last week. I'm going to try and find my thread on this. Post-millennial conservative news website got very breached. So very breached is when they get your data and they deface your website as well. Got very breached a couple of weeks ago. And last week, I spoke about how in this data breach, it was a combination of editors or writers for the publication. They had some JSON dumped. Customers of the service, subscribers of the service, they had some data dumped. And then at the time, there was something like 26 million records dumped in what was referred to as mailing lists. Now, I added all the caveats around this last week. I still got to add the caveats because we've seen nothing at all from the post-millennial on this. Caveats were that whoever broke into the site, and there was clearly compromised because the whole thing was defaced. You know, like it's one, and again, I have not seen the post-millennial argue against this, but it's one thing when organizations argue that, no, we have not been breached. This is not our data. It's another thing when your site has been defaced. It's like, okay. We can't really argue that we didn't have a data breach. There is still the nuance of the individual involved saying that these were all the mailing lists of the post-millennial. There were thousands of different CSV files in that list. And last week I talked about things like ObamaHatesVeterans.csv. You know, that was there. Is Brexit a good thing.csv. A whole bunch of stuff like this. Now, 26 million. I think I commented on the update last week. I certainly put on the Twitter thread here that there was a large archive, 5 gig archive, that had a whole bunch of file names in folders, or let's rephrase it, a whole bunch of CSV files in folders with names beginning with A, B, C, I think it went to D, somewhere in my thread here. Anyway, it was a subset of everything. And I think I recall reading somewhere, oh, there, it went to E. Sits in 13 folders ranging from AA to Epoch. So again, alphabetical, you get the idea. Anyway, that was only about 5 different letters of the alphabet. And I said at the time, so at face value, this may only be about 20% of the original corpus. The presence of this data sourced from various other locations creates a bit of a mess for post-millennial. Now, someone at the time, and I can't remember where I saw this, it might have been on the website that no longer exists, which we'll talk about in a moment, but someone said, look, there was a corruption in the archive, and it was a 5 gigabyte file, but it only had data from the A through to the E. Someone subsequently posted the entire thing that went from the E's all the way through to the Z's, the Z's, depending on where you are. It's America time at the moment. Europe, a lot of Europe is asleep. So someone dumped that over the course of this week, and that had all the other CSVs in it. Now, that more than doubled the total number of unique email addresses. Now, I know in here I said, well, look, if you've got A through to E, then that's the first 5 letters of the alphabet, so maybe that's 20% of the corpus. Inevitably, the remaining 80% of the corpus had a whole bunch of email addresses, which were probably already in some of the other files anyway. Long story short, we went from about 26 million to about 56 million, which was a sizable uptick. What's the actual number on that? Let me double check that. Do I have my figures right? Yeah. Well, about 57 million, just a tad under 57 million. So I've added that to Have I Been Pwned. Much confusion by people. A lot of people said, I don't want to be associated with, to use their terms, a right-wing website. So, there's an opt-out in Have I Been Pwned. I get that. I don't know why your data is there. No one does, because there's still no comments from the post-millennial, which is very strange. Now, I do wonder if given enough time and enough pressure on them, particularly if people get very lawyery these days around data breaches, a lot of class actions. So maybe if people get active enough in that space, that will make the post-millennial at least put out some sort of a statement on it. But it's quite strange when you see both the post-millennial and the chief editor, or the guy who was the one who, I made a complete mess of that. When the site was defaced, there was a message put on there allegedly from, I think it was Andy No is his name, allegedly from him. Now, notice both him and the post-millennial, their accounts on Twitter have been super active this whole time, but as far as I know, no one has actually said anything about the incident, and clearly they know because it got defaced. Just very strange to hear nothing. So we'll see. At the moment, that's that one's filed away. There seems to be no more happening on that one. I did later see from the Risky Business newsletter, apparently someone was targeting that political leaning class of website. And I think it was TPM and a few others as well might have been caught up in that. So, yeah, perhaps some, I don't know if political motivation is the right way of putting it, or just misaligned values. And that's why they were going after them. Either way, that's what happened. So, breach forums. Someone asked about breach forums. Now, this is like the most predictable outcome, InfoSec outcome of the year. A little history lesson first. There are a lot of websites out there where data breaches are posted to. Always have been. And obviously, I come across a bunch of these in the course of running Have I Been Pwned, because that's where a lot of the data comes from. All the way back to when Have I Been Pwned first started, and it was largely Adobe. There were websites where Adobe was posted. And then over the course of time, a lot of these websites have become forums for people to coordinate, exchange, sell data breaches. These forums are not dark web forums. And for all the media getting carried away about dark websites and everything getting taken down, they're not dark web forums. They are clear web forums. You open up your normal web browser and you go https://, and you put it in there. And in the case of the one that's just been taken down, it was breachforums.is is the last domain I think that they were running on. Let's see. No, breachforums.st. I don't even know anymore. Where's it gone? Breach forums. Because the other day I was looking at it and... maybe it was ST. Maybe it was CX. This is the problem. When you're running like a legal data breach forums, you tend to end up having problems with your domains and it rotates. So anyway, back to the story. A lot of these forums have started popping up on the clear web. And I've always found it fascinating because clearly, if it's on the clear web, it is something which is discoverable in terms of origin. You run behind a Tor hidden service. And look, there's plenty of websites that run behind Tor hidden services and eventually get discovered and taken down when there's enough incentive for law enforcement to do so. But running them on the clear web just seems like, okay, why? Anyway, moving forward, three websites that have become quite notorious in recent years and suffered takedowns are Raid Forums. Raid Forums was very, very popular. Now, let's have a look at the history here. Raid Forums takedown. I don't have them. And interestingly, they all have everything from the same sort of categories and layouts through the same sort of visual design. Takedown of Raid Forums. This was 21st of June. Actually, look, there's actually a Wikipedia page on this. Interesting. Raid Forums was an English language black hat hacking internet forum active from 2015 to 2019. That had a good run, didn't it, in terms of duration. So Raid Forums ran through raidforums.com. Do we still have the law enforcement and friends? Yep, takedown notice there. Raidforums.com eventually knocked offline, taken down by FBI, NCA, Swedish police, Dutch police, every AFP's not there. Our Aussie police is on the latest one. We'll come back to that. So these forums operate with near impunity. They are always run. We know this because of what happens afterwards. They're always run by young men. Now, sometimes old children, 16, 17 years old, end up obviously turning to adults, still running the thing. The founders in this case, Omnipotent, was Diogo Santos, I think from memory. He was in Portugal or somewhere, but then ended up, Portuguese national. The website was founded by a 21-year-old Portuguese national. And a screen name, Omnipotent, arrested January 31, 2022 in the UK. His arrest occurred pending several years of investigation after several of his devices were searched under warrant, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm sure that if I continue to search here, we'll see that Raid Forums was then succeeded by Breach Forums. Breach Forums version 1. Now, this Breach Forums ran from around about, it must have been around about that time. Where were we here? Breach Forums was an English black hat forum. The website acted as an alternative and successor to Raid Forums following its shutdown and seizure in 2022. It was 2022 Raid Forums got shut down. Okay. Like its predecessor, Breach Forums followed the discussion of various hacking topics and distributed data breaches, pornography, hacking tools, and various other services. On March 31, 2023, Breach Forums was shut down following the arrest of the forum's owner, Connor Brian Fitzpatrick. Now, I spoke a bunch about this at the time. This was Pom Pom Purin, was the guy's handle. This was someone who, again, young man, ran this service with seeming impunity. This was the one where the FBI affidavit, part of the affidavit, was Pom Pom Purin. I think he was actually talking to Omnipotent, the guy who ran Raid Forums before that, and saying, I think it was the AI type data breach. I'm going off the top of my head now, someone can correct me if I'm wrong. AI type data breach. And they were saying he got a copy of the AI type data breach and said, look, I don't think this is actually the correct thing because I just searched this email address and it was like Connor Fitzpatrick, you know, 89 or whatever it was, at gmail.com. I just searched this on Have I Been Pwned and it comes back saying it's in the AI type data breach, but it's not in the data you just gave me. That's not my real email address. I'm just using that as an example. You're sort of going, mate, you have literally doxed yourself in the chat here. You have broken through what was meant to be your private identity. And you've shared that publicly. Now, Connor Fitzpatrick also got charged with child exploitation things. So sympathy for him is extraordinarily limited. But it is certainly a waste of a young life. Anyway, so that got taken down, replaced by another Breach Forums, which popped up earlier last year and this week has been knocked offline. Now, that's kind of, it's kind of the same pattern over and over again. Now, we don't know who, in terms of real life identities, was behind this. I have seen some discussion that there might have been an arrest related to it. But it's the same thing over and over again. Raid Forums, Breach Forums 1, Breach Forums 2. Forum gets stood up, lots of people in there sharing lots of data, loads and loads of really, really juicy records for law enforcement. You know damn well, just as with Pom Pom Purin, a bunch of people there have not been doing their OPSEC properly. They will have real-world handles or email addresses or IPs, or if not, they'll link to other places where it then got disclosed. There's always a paper trail. So for folks that were part of this doing illegal things, I would be somewhat worried. Now, so Breach Forums got taken down. The Telegram channel associated to that got taken down. I think one or two other Telegram channels got taken down. I'm just trying to find that last law enforcement takedown notice because it was kind of curious. So this is curious. And I'm starting to honestly lose track because of the number of different domains these folks have run off. But now this website is saying site temporarily unavailable. Join our Telegram channel. So what's on the Telegram channel? Maybe someone else has snared that domain. That's a bit odd. Who knows? Part of the, I think what these takedowns do is they make everyone question who you can trust. Like, who can you trust in the data breach trading scene? Of course, when everyone's trying to be anonymous and when a bunch of them are committing illegal activity, and they're getting takedowns, it does somewhat erode your confidence in the whole ecosystem, doesn't it? So, curious. All right. There'll be another one. I don't know what I think at the moment, if you're calling it anything like Breach Forums, you're the right. Well, actually, if you're standing up any sort of data breach trading forum, the writing is on the wall. We know exactly what is going to happen. It's just going to be a matter of time. I think given a little bit of time, we might see a bit more information about who was running these services as well. It will be more young men. Like we just, it's every time, it's the same thing. Buad, if you had any specific questions about any other views on that, let me know. But I just think that this is very predictable and very much business as usual in the data-rich scene. All right, moving on. Interesting stuff this week, not just necessarily directly cyber-related, was ChatGPT 4.0. Now, if you have not seen the videos of this already, this is fascinating. And what I find so fascinating about it, many people have been commenting that the thing with AI is the massive rate of change. Now, there is a lot of AI FUD out there, huge amounts of AI FUD. A lot of FUD around everything from taking people's jobs away to how extensively it's going to be used in scams and everything else, through to blaming AI for things like the alleged Europcar data breach and blaming AI for generating content when there was no AI involved at all because it was just like a PHP faker library. So a lot of FUD. Now, we got to figure out what is actually legit and interesting out of the whole thing. And if you've not seen it already, what came out in 4.0 this week, and there's a gazillion videos about it already. Yep. Tangential topic. Is it just me, or does it now seem like there's a gazillion AI experts all sharing fairly useless crap, particularly on Twitter? It's just threads and threads about, here's a thread about how AI will change everything. And then it's just example, example, example. And some of it's kind of interesting. But you sort of go, I wonder who this person is. And it always just seems to be some rando. Anyway, what was particularly fascinating about it is the ability to now have conversations. Let's just give this a go. So you get your latest ChatGPT 4.0. You click the little headphones and it says connecting, connecting. It is connecting. Hey, ChatGPT.
Can you clarify what you're referring to?
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about a device or maybe a connection to the internet?
I was just talking about your connection keeps dropping out. But hey, different topic. Tell me about data breach trading forums. And the cool thing is, it's just
Data Breach Trading Forums is a platform where users can discuss various aspects of trading, including strategies, tools, and market trends. It's part of a larger community-oriented website called DataBridge News. The forum allows users to share questions, tips, and updates related to trading, and also includes discussions on additional applications and projects the community is working on. Additionally, there are other notable forums for trading discussions, such as Forex Factory, which offers a range of topics from...
Okay, that's interesting, but can you explain it to me in Norwegian?
Data Bridge Trading Forums er en plattform hvor brukere kan diskutere ulike aspekter av trading, inkludert strategier, verktøy...
All right, so anyway, it goes on and on. But what's kind of fascinating about it is the natural language, including the pauses and the ums from the AI. And when you sit there and start to have a conversation, it was fascinating. As I don't know, I think it was like Monday or something, we saw this launch, so our Tuesday. And I've shown Charlotte this. And within hours, she sort of said, well, using Google feels really, really old now. You know, like going and Googling stuff when you just tap the button and talk to it. This is amazing, and this is such early generation. And I'll tell you what I really felt afterwards. It's like every time I use Siri now, it feels like absolute shit. It has felt like that, in fairness, for quite a while, but suddenly it feels so, so antiquated. So I'm really fascinated to see what Apple comes out with in their Worldwide Developer Conference, which is coming up very, very soon, and then when they launch the new device in September. But unless they can start to do some stuff that starts to feel even remotely comparable to what OpenAI is doing, I think it's going to be hard times for them. Now, again, I think we're all sort of figuring out, like, what can you actually do with this stuff which is useful and interesting and valuable over and above what we could do before? And again, there's a gazillion experts on Twitter at the moment. I'm not seeing a lot of actually useful stuff out of it, but who knows? We'll keep searching. If you find something useful, particularly as it relates to this industry, then please let me know. All right, folks, a little bit of a shorter one today. Who knows next week? I don't know. I never know when I start these things. It was actually episode 400 today. That's probably of some significance. This is the 400th time I have sat down, usually in this office, but geez, over the course of many, many years now, from different corners of the world and hotels in different phases of life and different phases of frankly, sanity based on some of the things that happened there a few years ago. But yeah, this is 400 times, every single week for 400 times. So what'll I do for the 404th? Do I do a 404? Who knows? We'll find out next month. All right, folks, thanks for watching. I will catch you next week.